Okay, let's dig in. We're all kind of drowning in information these days, aren't we? Articles, research, news feeds, it's just constant.
Totally. It's a lot.
And sometimes you just need someone to cut through it, right? Find the actual important bits. That's what we do here on the Deep Dive. We take the sources you give us, like all this stuff we have today, and really unpack it.
Exactly. We sort through the notes, the articles, whatever you've got, and pull out those key insights, the things that really stick.
And today we're diving into bootstrapping a business. It feels super relevant right now. It's more than just funding, it's like a whole philosophy for getting started and growing.
Especially in this current economic climate, yeah.
We've got the stack of material here all focused on it. So, our mission today, go through this, find the core ideas. Like, what is bootstrapping really? Why is everyone talking about it now?
What are the real upsides, the tough parts too? And what strategies actually work based on this material? We should look at some examples too.
Yeah, and the why now part feels really strong in these sources.
Yeah.
They mention customer acquisition costs, getting new customers are just, well, they're soaring.
Right. Paid ads are super crowded, super noisy.
And getting venture capital seems like it's gotten way harder unless you've got some like world-changing moonshot idea.
Which makes relying on outside money tougher, riskier for a lot of founders.
Yeah.
And the sources link this to the whole economic picture, the interest rate hikes in what, 2023, 2024.
Yeah.
Investors suddenly got very focused on actual profit again, not just growth at any cost.
Right. Suddenly making money is back in fashion. And you know, what surprised me in the reading was how common this is, or is planned to be. Like a third of all startups plan to self-fund at some point.
That's a big chunk.
It really is.
And that brings us right to the basic definition. Bootstrapping, according to these sources, it's funding your business just with your own savings to start, and then purely from the cash the business itself generates.
So you're deliberately not taking outside money. No bank loans, no angel investors, no VCs.
Exactly. It's all about the business paying its own way.
Okay, so over this deep dive, we'll get into why it's popular again, the real benefits, the challenges, gotta be honest about those.
For sure.
And then the strategies that seem to work, and maybe touch on a few of those real world cases mentioned here.
Sounds good. So let's really dig into that why now piece first. You mentioned the high costs, the noisy ads.
Yeah, it just feels like you need really deep pockets to even get seen through paid channels these days.
It does. And the sources really emphasize that VC shift. Outside of those huge potential disruptors, getting big funding rounds is just much harder.
Makes sense.
And they connected straight to the economic slowdown, those rate hikes making borrowing more expensive, and like you said, everyone wanting to see profitability sooner.
Yeah, when money costs more, you watch where every penny goes. Another thing the sources hammer home is this idea of founder control.
Oh, this is huge. Taking outside investment, it almost always means giving up equity, right? Giving up a piece of your company.
Right, less ownership.
But it's not just the future payout. The sources stress you often give up decision-making power now. You get a board, other people influencing strategy. Bootstrapping keeps you in the driver's seat.
And I thought the focus on technology was interesting. They call it tooling democratization.
It's a total game changer. Things that you used to need, like specialist teams or really expensive software, now you can often do them with cheap or even free tools.
Like what?
Well, no-code platforms let you build apps without coding. AI writers help with content. Self-serve ad platforms, even if they're noisy, let you run targeted campaigns on smaller budgets. It just lowers the barrier for small, lean teams.
So tech is kind of leveling the playing field a bit for the scrappy founder.
Definitely. And there was that one stat that jumped out, a study of, what was it, 214 ventures.
Yeah, a longitudinal study.
It found that disciplined bootstrapping strategies correlated with stronger performance in the long run. So it's not just a nice idea. There's some data suggesting it builds more resilient companies.
Which brings us back to that core idea, your own money, plus the cash the business throws off. No outside capital.
Right. So your focus shifts completely. Instead of chasing investors and prepping pitch decks.
You're chasing paying customers
Right.
relentlessly.
Exactly. The cash from those customers directly funds your next move, a new feature, your first hire, trying a marketing idea. That feedback loop is incredibly direct and powerful.
And that survival statistic they mentioned is pretty stark. Like 50% of bootstrap companies make it a decade or more.
Compared to barely 30% for VC-backed ones.
Wow, that's a big difference.
It really suggests that the sort of forced discipline and customer focus makes for tougher, longer-lasting businesses. And speaking of discipline, the sources lay out four main advantages, like game-changing advantages.
Okay, the big wins. What's number one?
100% ownership. You keep all the equity, all the value you create, and maybe more importantly, you keep total control over direction, strategy, everything.
Makes sense. Advantage too.
Debt-free growth. Sounds simple, but it's vital. No loan payments eating into your cash flow every month. More money stays in the business.
Okay. Third one. Sustainable economics.
This is almost forced on you by having limited cash.
Yeah.
You have to figure out how to get customers profitably and deliver value efficiently right from the start.
Because you can't afford not to.
Exactly. You can't burn cash on marketing that doesn't pay back or build stuff nobody actually buys. It forces validation.
Necessity driving good business models. Okay, and the last advantage.
Strategic agility. No board meetings, no investor approvals needed. You see an opportunity or get market feedback, you can pivot fast.
Those are definitely strong points. But, okay, let's be real. The sources also talk about the challenges, the hard part.
Oh, yeah. They're very upfront. And they offer these founder fixes, which is helpful. First big challenge, limited capital. Obvious one.
Right. Everything just takes longer. Features, marketing spend. It's all slower.
It is. And the fix, according to this material, launch that minimum viable product, the MVP,
yeah.
Simplest possible version, and then only build more based on what customers actually show demand for. Don't guess.
Don't waste that precious cash. Okay, next challenge, operational overload.
The burnout risk. The founder is wearing like 10 different hats, sales, marketing, support, product, finance, all at once.
Yeah, I can see that. The fix?
Automate everything administrative you possibly can early on, and then use freelancers strategically for specialized stuff. Maybe complex design, legal advice, things you don't need full time yet. Keep the core team super lean.
Got it. And the third challenge, slower top line growth.
Yeah. You're probably not getting that crazy hockey stick curve everyone talks about.
Yeah.
Because you just can't dump millions into ads overnight.
Right. So the fix isn't just spend more.
No, the fix is to embrace what they call compounding growth channels. Things that build over time.
Like SEO, content.
Exactly. Search engine optimization, creating really valuable content that attracts people month after month, building a community. These build lasting assets, unlike paid ads that just stop when the budget runs out.
Okay, so tackling those challenges takes more than just grit. It takes a specific financial mindset. The sources call it financial discipline, your North Star.
This is the absolute core principle they emphasize. Every single dollar has to serve the customer or help the business serve the customer. If it doesn't, don't spend it. Full stop.
That requires real intention. They list some specific tactics for controlling costs, like must-have versus nice-to-have lists.
Yeah, and they give concrete examples. Fancy office plants, nice-to-have, maybe later. Reliable uptime monitoring so your service stays online. Absolute must-have. Brutal prioritization.
Okay, another tactic. Quarterly expense audits.
Just regularly reviewing every subscription tool service. Is it still delivering value? Is the ROI there? If not, cancel it or try to renegotiate. Stop the cost creep.
And zero-based budgeting. Sounds intense.
It is. Instead of just tweaking last quarter's budget, you start each period at zero. You have to justify every single expense line every time. Forces you to question everything.
And it's not just about cutting costs, right? The sources push focusing on revenue first, not vanity metrics.
Oh, totally critical for survival. It's easy to get excited by like website visits or total signups. But if those people aren't paying or clearly on the path to paying, those numbers don't keep the lights on.
They mention a holy trinity for bootstrappers.
Yeah, the three metrics that really show health. Monthly recurring revenue, MRR, your predictable income. Gross margin profit per sale after direct costs. And cash runway, how many months you can survive at your current burn rate. Track those like crazy.
That practical focus leads right into the next section. 7 proven strategies for successful bootstrapping. These are like actual things founders do.
Right. Concrete actions. Strategy 1, validate with an MVP.
We touched on this. Don't build the whole thing first. They suggest stuff like a landing page smoke test.
Yeah, just a simple web page describing the idea. Asking for emails or even pre-orders. See if anyone bites before you build anything complex.
Or a Wizard of Oz prototype.
Right. Where it looks automated to the customer, but you're actually doing the work manually behind the scenes. Lets you learn the process and demand without heavy tech investment up front.
Okay. Strategy 2. Make revenue priority, #1.
Get cash in the door, ASAP. Examples given are like offering big discounts on lifetime deals to your very first users, your charter members.
Or paid pilot programs.
Exactly. Charge early customers a fee to use a beta version and give you detailed feedback. Get paid to learn.
Strategy 3, leverage free and low-cost tools. And I like that they list specific ones. Makes it real.
It really does show how much you can do on a shoestring budget today, like for a website. WordPress with a theme like Cadence, basically free, or maybe $60 a year.
Email marketing for the first few hundred people. MailChimp's free plan covers up to 500 contacts, zero cost.
Simple CRM. Zoho Begin, free tier, or like $7 a month per user for the paid one.
Design or Video Canva, CapCut, powerful free plans, maybe $15 a month if you upgrade.
Project management, Trello, Notion, both have great free options. You can build a serious tech stack for next to nothing.
Okay. Strategy 4, build a lean marketing engine.
Back to those compounding channels. Instead of ads, build a content hub of valuable articles, guides that answer customer questions, attract search traffic over time.
Hyperlocal SEO was another one mentioned.
Yeah, if you have any local angle. Optimize your Google business profile, get reviews, show it for those near me searches, free traffic.
And user-generated content, UGC.
Right. Encourage customers to share their experiences, photos, reviews. It's super authentic social proof, and it costs you basically nothing.
Strategy 5, automate early, outsource smart.
Use tools like Zapier, Pabbly, make the no-code automation stuff to connect your apps, cut out manual work. Like automatically add form leads to your CRM.
And outsourcing.
For specialized skills you don't have or time-consuming tasks. Use freelancers from Upwork or Fiverr for projects. Keeps your payroll low, core team focused.
Strategy 6, network relentlessly.
But smartly. Not just expensive conferences, local meetups, niche online communities, Slack groups in your industry.
And the key is offering value first.
Exactly. Do a guest webinar for someone else's audience. Swap podcast interviews. Cross-promote newsletters. It takes time, but builds relationships and reach without spending cash.
Okay, final strategy, number 7. Reinvest for compounding growth.
Once you are profitable, take a chunk of that profit, the sources suggest maybe 30% to 50% each month, and put it back into growth experiments.
But track it carefully.
Yeah, track the payback period. How fast does that investment bring back its cost and revenue? Then you double down on what works, cut what doesn't. Very disciplined.
And the sources use some great case studies to illustrate all this.
Spanx is amazing, right? Sarah Blakely, $5 case savings, packing orders herself, cold calling stores, still private, huge revenue. That's bootstrapping power.
MailChimp, too. Funded it from their web design agency income. Used that freemium model to grow massively, then paid upgrades funded R&D. Stayed independent for ages.
And Basecamp, 37 signals. Built the tool for themselves first. Charged from day one, profitable immediately, famously independent, share profits with employees, not just investors. These are serious businesses built this way.
So beyond the big strategies, there are some quick practical tips too, almost like little reminders.
Yeah, like be frugal, not cheap.
Meaning.
Be smart with money, absolutely. But don't cut corners on essentials. Good customer support, cybersecurity, basic legal stuff. Skimping there costs more later.
Makes sense. Next tip. Track leading indicators.
Don't just look backwards at sales. Watch the things that predict future revenue. New trial signups, demo requests, your churn rate, how many customers you're losing. These warn you about problems before they hit the bank account.
Find a founder circle.
Yeah, don't go it alone. Bootcrapping is hard, lonely sometimes. Connect with other founders for support, accountability, just sharing the journey. Guard your energy.
Back to burnout.
Totally. Schedule your time, like dedicated maker time for deep work coding. Writing, separate from manager time, emails, calls, admin. Protecting your focus and energy is crucial for a small team. And the last one, celebrate small wins.
It's a marathon, right?
Absolutely. Acknowledge the milestones, launching a feature, getting a great review, hitting a small revenue target. Keeps morale up, keeps you going.
Now, the sources are clear. Bootstrapping isn't like a religion. It's a phase, maybe. There might be times when outside money makes sense.
Right. It's not necessarily forever. They list conditions when you might consider it. One is critical market timing.
Meaning?
You've found product market fit, your economics work, but competitors with deep pockets could copy you and just outspend you to grab the market fast. Maybe then capital helps you accelerate.
Okay. Another condition you mentioned earlier, unit economics are locked.
Yeah. You absolutely know your numbers.
Yeah.
Customer acquisition cost, churn, lifetime value. If those numbers are solid and profitable, then adding capital isn't a wild guess. It's fuel for predictable growth.
And the third condition, you can dictate terms.
This is key. If you've already built something profitable and sustainable on your own, you negotiate from strength. You can get much better investment terms, keep more control.
And they also mention alternatives to traditional VC, right? Stuff that gives you capital without giving up as much control.
Exactly. like crowdfunding, getting customers to prepay or invest directly, or revenue-based financing, where investors get a percentage of your revenue for a while instead of equity. More options now.
Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive, the main takeaway from all this material seems to be bootstrapping is tough, definitely not easy, but incredibly empowering.
Yeah, you're trading that potential quick cash injection for long-term resilience, for sustainability. You're shifting focus from impressing investors to truly obsessing over your customers and building a real business that pays for itself.
Sounds like it's maybe right for you if you really value autonomy, if you're okay with learning every part of the business, and if profitability matters more to you than just flashy growth numbers.
And the basic playbook seems pretty simple, distilled from these sources. Validate fast. Spend slow and carefully. Reinvest profits wisely. And never forget your best funding source, a happy paying customer.
Which leads to that final provocative thought from the sources for you, the listener, to chew on. Could bootstrapping, like this material argues, actually be an unfair advantage in today's market? And thinking about those seven strategies we covered, the MVP, revenue first, low-cost tools, lean marketing, automation, networking, reinvesting, which one of those could you maybe implement starting today? What momentum could that single step help you gain?